T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 Time. The game, Braves back home. They are off today. We'll open a two-game set against the Red Sox tomorrow and then four against the St. Louis Cardinals. So Truist is going to be rocking this week. Let's see what the Braves have now. Short of anything else here, Braves are going to have to make some kind of moves somehow because it doesn't seem like the team as assembled is really capable of doing much of anything. I don't know how big a move they're going to have to make, Hugh, but they may have to make a bold move. I don't know. Right now I have you want to talk about faith being tested?
Man, you know, it's funny. I thought a couple weeks ago the series against the Dodgers was going to be the telltale
right
for the Braves. I don't know what to tell you now, John. I don't know what to say. I thought that was an epiphany that I had, something like that, but a revelation. But nah, I don't think that's the case anymore.
Because they beat Kershaw, they beat Bauer, and then they beat Nola in that first game in Philadelphia, back to back to back.
He's like, yeah, this,
we, yeah, here we go. We Kershaw, Bauer, and Nola. Okay, we
live it high on the hog.
And then that one just total meltdown by Chris Martin, after Philadelphia gave you the extra inning win. And Christmas. The walk-off with two outs by Will Smith, and then you go down to Miami and you can't get anything going offensively and whatever. So the Braves off today, of course, clears the decks here for the Hawks tonight against Philadelphia. Game 4 coverage begins at 7. Tip, what did they say? 7:30-ish, 7:40, somewhere near. Steve Holman on the call from Sold Out, Standing Room Only, State Farm Arena. Hopefully we get some excitement tonight, you. And,
I wonder what the building – I mean, it's sold out, but I wonder what it's going to look like tonight because it's Monday. But it is – I mean – is it still – do they still do Magic City Mondays?
I didn't even know they did, so
Do they still do Magic City Mondays? Yeah, I'm just saying because I'm pretty sure it's going to be some people that, like after the game, that's probably, when you want to unwind probably.
How long has Magic City been around?
Ever.
Forever?
Magic City been around a long time because I remember back when I first – Freaknik, that was one of the first stops that you would make when you got to Atlanta. And it would be, packed. And you'd take your little $20, because that's all you had, and get one dance, and that was it. Matter of fact, how much are the dances now? I haven't been in so long. I just was wondering. I mean, not like I'm going. It was just one of them random things that just popped in my head. Yep. Does anybody know what the lap dances are going for nowadays? Can somebody tweet me that? So I can find
out. I have no idea.
Because it used to be $20. It used to be – well, it was like 10, and then it went to 20.
Well, it was 5, then it became 10.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was 5. Okay, John, you go away. You going back into what, the early 90s?
More like 80s.
80s, yeah. So I wonder what the lap dances are now.
You probably, 20, probably?
Probably lap dances are probably setting you back. I'm pretty sure, definitely putting some people through school with lap dances nowadays, definitely.
Yeah, I did not change the subject, but I was over the weekend here, being the homeowner I am, I go out on Saturday and, finally, dry enough, I think, that I can go ahead and mow. And I'm looking at the yard and go, oh my God, this thing needs to be mowed. So I break out the mower and it was suddenly I had the same idea as everybody else in the entire city of Acworth and Cartersville, because it turned into Saturday Mowing League. I mean, Hugh, I'm out there, I'm going through the front yard, and I look up and down the street, and I mean literally everyone, just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I mean, all the It's like, okay.
You know what, John? You're right. That mowing league story was way better than the one I was telling about strip clubs.
Well, I was just trying to move the needle a little bit away from that particular topic.
That mowing league story.
I got nowhere to go with that, okay?
That was so much better.
So I got nowhere to go with the other one. It's like, okay, no,
I get it. I get it, and I apologize, but I was it just popped in my head. And sometimes, like, I need to stop. Like, I overshare sometimes, and that was one of them. I think I overshared just a little bit.
I'm kind of going, I got nowhere to go with this one. You know what I mean?
I'm oversharing. I apologize for that, man. But that was a great story, the Boy League story. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. $30. Okay.
Oh, it's $30? Oh, man. Yeah. You might as well go give him 40 then. If, I mean, you know, with the inflation.
You can say you want change.
Yeah. Hey, can you get change for 20? Maybe hit you with for real?
Really?
Change?
Change?
Why are you here? Why are you here?
You want change?
Yeah, that's the tip. Because ain't nobody doing that, man. Who going to handle it? They ain't doing that. Yeah, well, you know what that means, John? They ain't going to never see me at a strip club ever again because ain't giving them 30 bucks.
To get, at least that, to as get I glitter, remember from way back in the
all
day.
Over me, are you crazy?
Yeah, I was trying to think I was going with real estate advice. You know, I'm going to stay in my lane, you know, because I don't know. The Maven's out running errands right now. So, as far as I know, she's listening on the radio.
Yeah,
so,
you better leave that one alone.
Hi, hon. How you doing? No, we're all good. No, everything's fine.
Hey, you want some real estate advice? Some sound advice?
Sound advice? What, honey? Talk about Jim Harbaugh. Oh, did you see the Jim Harbaugh?
You talking about the Michigan story when he was talking about nobody wears red in the building?
Yeah.
And that's supposed to, like, you know, change the culture. You can't wear red in maize and gold or whatever they call it building when you come into the facility.
Yep. Michigan's hatred of rival Ohio State is on full display for recruits during summer visits. Harbaugh has said there is no red allowed at the facilities. You can't even drink red Gatorade.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. Now, you know, that's – if I'm a Michigan fan – and Mason Blue for all you Michigan fans. I'm all pumped up about that. I'm not really so much worried about the fact that.
How about you win some damn games?
That since 2004, your record against Ohio State, 1-15. 1-15. You've lost like 9 straight. Harbaugh's never beaten them. And you're worried about red Gatorade?
Maybe you need to recruit better. Maybe you some know? Of them cats. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, this is just. Maybe some of the cats you're recruiting are not good enough to play.
Well, I don't really know
Ohio
what that. You know, that's kind of a funny thing, Hugh. I mean, because if you look at Michigan over the last few years, they've had some ballers. I mean, they've had
individual
talent.
Ballers, John. But I think as a whole, when you think about it, it has been like the last couple of games that I've seen that Ohio State Michigan play. It just looked like two different squads. I mean, like it just like the talent levels are just different. I mean. Ohio State just looks stronger, faster, and I don't know. I mean, you think about it. I mean, it gets cold. It gets cold in Ohio too.
Uh-huh.
You know, but they're managing to get the. Put it like this, I think that when I think of Ohio State is built to play with SEC teams. You know, in my opinion, they're kind of built like an SEC team. You know, bigger, stronger, faster. You know, and then on top of that, you talk about they recruit guys that get after the quarterback. They got some of the best pass rushers in the last, 5 or 6 years that NFL has seen came from Ohio State. So that, to me, is the biggest difference. You know, and it's not like they're just all getting these kids from Florida. They're getting them from all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they need to do a better job of recruiting, or maybe they need to start poaching some of those kids that are trying to go to Ohio State. I don't know what to tell you because Michigan is a really good program, and they shouldn't be getting they back beat in like they have been lately.
Well, and the irony is, or the interesting thing is, Jim Harbaugh, you know, longtime NFL quarterback who developed quarterbacks, in his life, can't find a quarterback. I mean, he had Shea Patterson transfer in. That was about it. I mean, and he was only okay. And, you know, the rest of the quarterbacks in Michigan, Joe Milton was terrible. I mean, they've had really bad quarterbacks. All right. at the very best, average. I mean, they haven't had anybody that could pull the trigger. And then Ohio State's running through the JT Barretts, Braxton Millers, and then, of course, Joe Burrow.
But the flip side of that, Ohio State quarterbacks.
Justin Fields and blah, 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 blah. I mean, yeah, Ohio State's running through quarterbacks that are first-team all-conference and, you know, all-American and top draft picks. And Michigan got Shea Patterson. You know, I don't know what's going on with that program. You know, he's surviving as, you know, on Michigan, man. See, this is the problem when you bring back a coach, Hugh. Now, Kirby Smart, obviously, I know the fans are frustrated with Kirby, but Kirby's had quite a bit of success. You know, and I granted, I know that you want to win a title. I get that. But, you know, a lot of these schools that bring back their coaches who don't, it makes it harder to move on from that coach when you bring in a Jim Harbaugh or Scott Frost or somebody like that who's a legacy guy, a quarterback at your team, you know, beloved. And, you know, and now if it's going squirrely, how do you get rid of the beloved guy, you know?
Because it's going squirrely. Like people want to win. This is a bottom line business, John, and people want to win. And if Coach Harbaugh is not getting it done, then guess what? You know, friends is friends, G. This is business. And if the business right now is winning football games, if you can't do that, then we need to move on. You know, we can still be friends at the end of the day. But right now, you know, our friendship – it's costing me W's.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I need to go ahead and get them dubs. I need them dubs.
Right, because Michigan's program, ever since Harbaugh's gotten there, is flatlined. And, you know, it just –
they were doing so well, though, when they were taking trips to Italy and having satellite camps here
exactly.
In the A and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did a great job.
See that 12-team playoff, the one thing, which, by the way, that 12-team playoff we were talking about earlier, there's going to be a committee meeting later this week, and then they'll come out of committee, and they'll give us some of the details about how it's going, and then they're going to send it out to all the 11 conferences, and then they'll all vote. But it's going to pass, okay? The only question is, you know, what's it going to look like, and when's it going to start? Probably 2023, and here's how it's going to stack up. It's going to pass. Hugh, that's going to save a lot of jobs. It's good because now you've opened up a lot of slots. So it's going to save some jobs. Or maybe if you can't even make the 12-team playoff, maybe it'll cost jobs. I don't know. There may be both sides of that coin. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Harbaugh, you can make the playoff, then okay. But that's going to be the new bar. You know, you got to make the playoff if you're Michigan. There's just not going to be an acceptable reason not to make the playoff.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, I agree with that, John. It's going to be interesting to see the teams that get in and the teams that don't make it. But yeah, it's going to be exciting to see some of the not Power Five teams get in and see how well they fare. You know, like say for instance, I would love for UCF to be in that position and be in a position where they're in the Power Five playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the conference playoffs, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a little bit. I mean, Cincinnati gave Georgia a little bit of a game last year. They were a pretty good team that Luke
would. Yeah, I mean, I would like to see. But you're talking about, like, in a playoff like that, John, you're talking about back-to-back, like,
no, I know.
World beaters. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
and there will be
hurt.
A time, Hugh, where you'll just get an Appalachian State that will win an opening round game. That'll happen.
No, that's what I'm saying. But week in and week out, yeah
but that's going to be the thing. To win more than one?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, good luck. But they'll become Cinderella. It'll be a little bit like the basketball tournament. You know, a Coastal Carolina will go in and win a game in the opening round, and they'll knock off Oregon or, you know, Texas or somebody, and everybody go, oh, look at Coastal Carolina. Now they got to play, you know, Alabama.
good luck with that.
All right, good luck, you know. Head west, young man. All right, your chance for $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
West, W-E-S-T, West, 272881.
Hey, okay, Orn.
W-E-S-T.
It's one of my favorite videos, John, of all time.
To
this song right here?
Mm-hmm. and of course, official rules at 929thegame.com. West to 72881 is the national signing bonus code word. I've been told not to ask why. It is one of his favorite videos. Andy and Randy, top of the hour, might explain it to me too on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Bell. Under pressure.
So we decided decided this morning that he was going to throw up a poll on the Twitter at 929. is game four tonight a must-win? Must-win being capitalized for the Hawks if they hope to advance. And, Hugh, 96% say yes. Only 4% say no, they can still survive this if they go down 3-1. It would be a tall order to go down 3-1. So tall that I think all of us are looking and go, wait, you got to win in Philadelphia, and then you got to win three in a row, and you got to win twice in Philadelphia. Probably not happening. And that's not really a slight against the Hawks, I don't think, because I got a question for all three of you guys, Oren, Abe, and Hugh. Are the Hawks playing? Look at the rest of the NBA that's going on right now, okay? You look at the Utah Clippers. Phoenix has advanced, and they advanced 4-0 on a Denver team that's, boy, did they miss Murray. Milwaukee is 2-2 with Brooklyn. Are the Hawks playing the best team in the NBA in the playoffs right now? I mean, is Philadelphia the best team in the league right now?
I mean, I think it's kind of hard to say, John. I really do. I think that there are some flaws with the Sixers that right now the Hawks are just they just can't exploit. I do believe that, but to say they're the best team, that's a hard one. That's a tough one.
Oren, are the Sixers, this team that the Hawks are playing, are they right now the best team in the NBA?
They might not be the best, but they're playing the best.
Well, that's what I'm saying right now. Are they the best team in the NBA?
I think they more so than any other team in the NBA, playoffs right now. No, maybe not Phoenix, but those two teams, Phoenix and Philadelphia, know exactly what they are. Like, they don't try to do anything outside of what they are, and they're really, really good at doing exactly what they do, which is being big down low with Embiid, timely shots. Like, it's – nobody tries to play outside of a role on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And you got your superstar playing exactly like a superstar is supposed to be playing right now. So, yeah.
Is Philadelphia the best team right now in the playoffs, Abe?
It's tough for me not to go with Phoenix. They just eliminated the MVP for a reason. They made it look quite easy while doing so. I would say between those two teams, certainly you can make your arguments, but I might lean towards Phoenix. You know, that has actually become a really interesting matchup for me, John, because seeing what Phoenix – I know we're going to have problems with Embiid in our series, but seeing what Phoenix did against Jokic, I wonder what they would do against Embiid compared to what the Hawks are doing.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting that, Hugh, we were 3 years ago, we were looking at Phoenix and the Hawks as being the two worst teams in the NBA. Look how fast things can change.
Yeah. Yeah, John. I mean, and that's where I kind of – you know, I'm not as down on the Hawks as probably everybody else is. If they win tonight, that's great. I think that the ceiling for the Hawks is very, very high. And you know, they're going to take their lumps. A young team that, John, when the season first started, it had been about, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, we were like, damn, this team is underachieving. Like, our hopes was to make it to the playoffs. That was our hopes going into this season. Okay, so we did that. And I think that right now the Hawks have exceeded everybody's expectations of what they should be right now. And so you're going up against arguably a team that has been in the position that the Sixers have been in for a couple seasons now. And on top of that, they fired a couple coaches to get them over the hump. So you're kind of running into a buzzsaw right now. But like I said, I think it's great experience for this young team. And I think that they're going to come back and they're going to be stronger for it. I mean, it's just certain things that are going on and happening in this game, in my opinion, that you just can't do nothing about. Being big and being physical like Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are. And only thing going to say that, John, is a weight room visit.
Or free agency.
Well, yeah, in a weight room visit. A weight room visit will definitely say that. But I'm talking about with the people that are on here now. And I think you need to see that. You know, I think you need to see that and know what you need to work on in the offseason. It's a weight room visit. You need to get in the weight room, bro.
All right, one more question for all three of you. And this goes to the game for tonight. And that is, everything's important. I get that. But what is the most important thing for the Hawks to win? Do they have to shoot the lights out? Do they have to get physical and slow Embiid? Or do they have to play super clean with, like, no turnovers and just be perfect when it comes to handling the basketball? What's the most important thing, Hugh?
I would probably say it's a combination of everything, John, but since you want me to narrow down to one, I think probably shooting. Shooting because, I mean, right now, the biggest issue that you have is, like, the overall physical stature and the size of the team that you're going against. I think that that's factoring in quite a bit. But, yeah, so you got to outshoot them.
Oren, shoot the lights out, get physical and slow Embiid, or just play super clean when you have the basketball with no turnovers, be flawless. What's the most – I mean, again, all are important, flawless, but what's the most important thing?
It's, to me, playing clean basketball, limiting the extra possessions you can give to Philadelphia, keeping for yourself, and on the flip side, you got to turn them over. You saw what happened in the first half of the first game when you got Philadelphia to get in turnover, got turnover happy. You were able to create shots. You got on the break. You know, things were open. You spread it out like that. That's when you had good basketball. So if you can get Philly to turn it over and you can keep the ball yourself, that will lead to a Hawks victory tonight.
All right, Abe, how do you vote here? Shoot the lights out, get physical and slow and beat, or play super clean with no turnovers?
Yeah, I mean, you can make your arguments for shooting the lights out. You can make your arguments for playing super clean. There's zero argument to be made for the middle one. They've shown no ability to adjust in three games. I don't think they're going to be adjusting any differently tonight. So, yeah, I mean, a combo of what Oren's saying, I guess. But, I mean, yeah, if I had to pick one, I mean, 6 of 23 is not getting it done. Would 17 of 23 have gotten it done? Probably. So, you got to do what you did in the first half of game one. Just shoot the lights out.
Hugh, how important is the first quarter tonight?
I think it's huge. I think it was important the other night, John, and how Philadelphia set the tone. I think it's a tone setter. So, yeah, you got to come out and you have to establish your dominance or your presence, like, almost immediately.
And get that crowd fired up and into it and get them on your side because, you know, from what Oren told us, it was just a mausoleum. I mean, it's sort of like interesting when you, Oren, were talking about how they'd have a little bit of light and there'd be a little bit of a run and the crowd wanted to believe. And then, you know, that's kind of how I view the Braves. Every time it's like, you know, false positive. Every time I think, that the Braves are about to get going, and then they go to their bullpen.
Saddest thing, John, from Friday. The saddest thing, the loudest ovation, the loudest, the most into it the crowd was the entire game, was when they had the little scoreboard thing and Lou Will was up there and he did a bracket of his favorite Atlanta artist. And the people, like the groups he was eliminating, people were oohing and aahing and whatnot. And so it was a bracket challenge he was doing with the Atlanta artist. That might have been the most engaged and sort of into it the crowd was the entire game.
Yeah, that's not good. That's just not good. I mean, yeah, we'll see what happens tonight. And hopefully, you know, Hugh, if they win tonight, I think that, you know, a lot of us are right now, we're in our feelings a little bit about where they stand. But if they win tonight, you know, all of a sudden you say, can you on Wednesday night go to Philadelphia and steal one? Because if that happens, man, you know what? That makes Friday night. Oh, Friday night's game 6 would be off the chain, off the hook, off the anything you want to have. That's what I want. I want that Friday night game 6 at State Farm to be just, bananas. You know, so you win tonight, you guarantee game 6, but especially if you win tonight and go to Philly, because anything is possible. I know that Phoenix is playing great. Utah's up 2-1 on the Clippers, but we've seen every team has flaws. That's why I was asking the question, Hugh, about whether or not Philadelphia's best team in the playoff. Every team's got a little bit of flaw in it. And mm-hmm. So it's still wide open. I know that everybody looking at Phoenix, but, I mean, I think any of the 7 teams that are remaining could potentially be the champion in the NBA, and that includes the Hawks if you can find out. You know, I mean, they're probably 7 out of 7 right now in most people's books, but, matter of fact, I know they are, but at the same time, what the hell? You know, we're down to the final 7, and you're still alive, so.
This is, and I might be wrong, and I'd be the first to admit that, but like I said, the only way to me, like anything is possible, you're right. But, you know, a lot of what I see in this series so far has been physical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, the only thing counter that is a weight room visit. Like, for real. So several visits to the weight room that aren't going to be rectified in 2 to 3 days. I mean, to be honest.
right? But you and you pointed it out. I mean, this playoff is exposing the Hawks for whatever weakness they may have. All right, a quick break, and Eddie and Randy, top of the hour on Sports Radio 90, join the game. Morning show with John and Hugh on this Game 4 night for the Atlanta Hawks as they take on the Philadelphia 76ers on the flagship station of the Hawks Basketball Network. Our pregame coverage is 7, tip at 7:30-ish or so with Steve Holman on the call from State Farm Arena. Sold out State Farm Arena Game 4. You know, Hugh, real quick here because Abe made a point here that I just wanted to ask you about. You probably saw this, right, this text from Abe. It says, aside from the result itself, tonight is about proving that Game 1 wasn't a fluke, and I think that's the straw that fans are grasping for, that the Hawks really kind of – there's a sense that, you know, look, of the seven teams left, they'd rank number 7. I get that. But that they don't belong here, you know, yet, is that the sense here that we're trying to prove that we still belong here?
I think it's the sense that you need to grow. You're growing. I mean – you talk about how many teams that are in this playoff series that have first-timers, what, Phoenix, Utah? Somebody's in here. Like, I know the Hawks. Who else is, like, the first time they've been in the playoffs in a while?
That's still left?
Yes.
Phoenix, I think that's pretty much it. I mean –
yeah, I mean, so it's to me, John – it's the ushering in of the new regime of younger players. Because the NBA is getting old. You talk about some of the same cast of characters, LeBron's out, sure, and things like that. So it's about growth at this point. It's about growth. I would even put the Sixers in the category of they're the next up-and-coming team. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that they're younger and they've been in this position a little bit longer than everybody else. Well, the Hawks have. So it's about growth. I think that like Travis said last week when we talked to him, they still are some pieces away. But this is a great learning experience. And that's how I look at it. Everything since they've beaten the Knicks in the first round, everything is house money in my opinion. You play with house money.
Oh, I totally agree. We understand everybody. We know that this series is exposing a weakness within the Hawks and a weakness that could be addressed to some degree if the other two guys that are currently injured and Hunter and Reddish were healthy. I mean, would they help? You betcha. And there are going to have to be some adjustments made in the offseason, of course. I mean, Travis Hunt going to go out there and make adjustments. And, you know, we have to get a little bit deeper at bigs on the bench. Because right now your bigs are guys like, you know, Okongwu and Fernando, and they're not quite ready. I mean, they're kind of who they are. And not that I'm giving up on Big O. I'm not. It'll be interesting to see. You talk about the weight room. That's one guy that I'm really going to be interested to see how he develops.
Yeah, my thing is this, John. I think the biggest issue right now is experience and, mm-hmm, you know, lifting weights. I mean, that's what I see. I mean, and I'm not gonna break it down to the X's. Oh, I ain't never played in the NBA, so I just see you right now. You're being out physical.
Mm-hmm.
We
saw that early in the year.
There
was a game against Detroit where Drummond, who was just beating on us a little bit, and it was like, okay, yeah, you know. And so we'll see what they have tonight. Again, pregame at 7 and tip at 7:30-ish. With Steve Holman. Oren mentioned something earlier, Hugh, about being out of town. You're going out of town this weekend, Oren, is that right? Because you're not going to be in on Friday?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you know,
he's trying to go out of town. He ain't got no ID.
Well, we'll say.
Oh, true.
Put my business out there in the streets, Hugh Douglas.
Well, you talked about it this morning.
You go to the DMV, you can get a temporary license, Oren, okay?
No, so I'm going to go see my mom. She's on the Gulf Coast. Thursday and Friday.
Wait a minute, Mississippi. Hey, Oren.
What? Be careful.
On the shield. Don't go to Mississippi without no ID, man.
Oh no, that's not gonna happen.
Don't go to Mississippi. Yeah, hey, anybody that's from Mississippi, I don't care what you thinking. I'm there. I'm going there with. Don't go to Mississippi without ID.
Oh,
ID.
No, I'll have. And if I don't, girlfriend do all the driving.
Yeah,
that's your best bet.
I'll be in the back seat. Just she'll be the chauffeur.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, no, you probably don't want to sit in the back seat.
Damn, Hugh.
I'm just saying. Hugh, man. You probably don't want to do that.
In any case, going to go see my mom. And then Sunday, we're going to spend the day and night, a little bit of the next day in New Orleans. The thing that I'm kind of monitoring, my mom sent me a text last night. There is a possible tropical depression right now that's coming up and may turn into something. So hopefully that doesn't, knock on wood here, that hopefully that turns into nothing and we're able to make the trek up.
You know what, it's unfortunate that every time that there is, like, you talk about people that are watching the forecast. Down that way, man, it's real. And you
wind
still,
gets strong, they look
man,
and see what's going
listen,
on.
When I went to New Orleans that one time and it was raining heavy, it was unnerving because the people, you know, like, oh, it's raining, but no. Yeah, it was different. It was different. And I was like, man, you know, you start thinking about stuff that you shouldn't be thinking about on vacation, but since you're there and it's that time of year, you know, you're always a little uncomfortable when it comes to that.
It's getting close to hurricane. Are we in hurricane season?
Yeah, it starts June 1st, yes. Yeah. So we're 2 weeks into it, yeah. And it ends like October 1st. So, yeah, well, we're right in the.
So that's
a little side trip you're taking down there to. Where are you going? Biloxi, you know?
Mama lives in Gulfport.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Hugh, what's vacation this year for you?
You know what, John? I'm trying to figure that out now. I want to go back up to Philly. I want to see what the team is looking like. You know, I got family up there. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure that out now. And, you know, I told you that this year is the year that I really want to move. So I'm trying to figure out all of that. I'm trying to figure all of that out. And it's starting to get close to that time where, you know, I got to start making moves, the moves that I'm going to make. So
as far as vacation,
I want to take a cruise. But I'm going to have to wait for that.
Okay. Abe, what's vacation for you this year?
Abe has elected me as a proxy to speak for him, and he said December cruise.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh,
by the way, Hugh, if you think about a cruise, Yacht Rock is doing a Yacht Rock cruise this – well, it's in February, so you got a little while to wait. But
yeah, I need to figure out – I need to – like I got – I mean, I know they don't stack, but I got like two whole weeks of vacation.
Days on days,
out.
Man.
Yeah, I need to figure out what I'm going to do.
Guess what? December 31 come, and guess what? You got none.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know, so I'm just saying.
I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to start doing that, man, real quick.
I know. Obviously, I'm going to be making my Canada trip. I'll do that every year.
Canada.
I got to go out to Dallas, and I got to go to Omaha. So I got three trips.
What's
in
Omaha? Oh, Nebraska.
I got family up there. Oh. Yeah, my sister and my cousin, and they're very close too. So, and I haven't been up to Omaha in probably 5 years. So, well, longer than that, maybe 6-7 years. So, I said, okay, fine, I'll go up. And so,
you said they had to twist your arm a little bit, John. Okay,
no,
fine.
I mean, you know, it just kind of depends. You know, I mean, is the Falcons, like, if the Falcons have whatever bye week they have, if the Huskers are at home, I'll go then. Could go see Nebraska play. But
And I'm gonna take some time off when the Alabama LSU game.
Probably more
likely. Take a couple days off for that.
Uh huh. Where's that going to be? Tuscaloosa or Baton Rouge?
It's in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, dude, you got to roll. I mean, you'd really you
cannot
roll be
to
down
the
here and not be going to, you know, if you've never been, if you're new to the South here, okay, and you've never been to a college football game, to go to Sanford Stadium, to go to Neyland Stadium at Tennessee, to go to Bryant-Denny, to go down on the plains to Jordan-Hare, to go up to Clemson, to any one of these schools, you know, to experience what it's like. I mean, it's really, if you've never been to a college football game, it'll blow you away
it's not like any sporting event you've ever been to.
No, I can't wait, man, because I got, you know, friends of mine, frat brothers and stuff. They're already talking about the game and how many people are going to be there. And you know, I have friends that went to LSU. They say it's going to be off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go like Friday. And probably
that's going to be a big game because LSU could be pretty good, Hugh.
Yeah. Cannot wait.
Yeah, and in the West, you start looking at, you know, beyond Alabama, and, you know, Auburn's going to be pretty good, LSU's going to be pretty good, A&M's going to be good. One of those Mississippi schools turned out to be pretty good, maybe Ole Miss, because they got the quarterback. So, I mean, look, that West is going to be fierce. You know how the West, Orrin, dominated, you know, the East dominated when they first split into divisions for a number of years, and then the West dominated, and then it kind of evened out over the last two or three. It's back to being the West. The West has got...
Well, I don't know how even it is, John, because it's been a whole lot of Alabama.
I understand that, but I mean, beyond Alabama, you start ranking teams in the SEC, you go, you know, Alabama, Georgia, Georgia, Alabama, whichever one you want. Then the only other team in the East that even ranks in the top seven is probably Florida, and the rest are all from the West. Because the East, I think, is, you know, Missouri's okay. But, I mean, there's a lot of teams in the East that are, you know, South Carolina's a long way away. I think Tennessee still probably a ways away. You know, I know that they want to have that happen for them sooner than later up there.
Good
I get
luck.
It. Yeah.
They better find some more people.
You need more people.
Yeah, well, they have to hit on the right coach. You know, I mean, they just really more than anything else up there. You got to hit on the right coach, and Tennessee hasn't done that yet. And so you hit on the right coach. That's why I think that Brian Harsin down at Auburn is going to do really good things, Hugh. I mean, you got a hell of a coach, so that'll be really interesting to keep your eyes on because the West has got – you got Jimbo Fisher, you got Lane Kiffin, you got Coach O, you got, you know, Mike Leach, you got Brian Harsin. I mean, the West is loaded with great coaches. In the East, you know, you got Kirby, you got Mullen, and, you know, I mean, people like Mark Stoops, but he's okay, you know, I guess.
It's about the players, though. You got to get them ballers. You got to get some ballers out there.
And that starts with the coach.
You got to get some ballers.
Well, let's hope that the Hawks have some ballers tonight. Let's just get this one. Come on. I want to be able to come on the show tomorrow morning and play a montage, and then I want to have happy talk.
Yeah.
I want happy talk tomorrow morning, okay? Happy talk. Not grinding out, yeah. I don't want that. All right. Let's go get a win. LGH, Believe Atlanta. Let's go.
That's us a win.
That's it.
Andy Randy coming up next. Everybody have a safe and wonderful day. Peace.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.